Do you love podcasts and classic television? Do you want to listen to Secrets Uncovered, the Truth Behind the Lies podcast and rant radio, completely ad-free? At Limitless Broadcasting Network, we bring you all your favorites like The Carol Burnett Show, Alfred Hitchcock Presents, and I Love Lucy without any interruptions. For just $7 a month and $80 a year, you can unlock over 90 hours of quality television and podcast programming. Don't miss out. Subscribe today at limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com, where endless entertainment awaits.
Hey everyone, I'm Ashley.
And I'm Sammy, and we are
the Pixie Dust Twins. Going through Disney withdrawal? Well, we have the cure with Disney-centered topics every week.
You can check us out on all podcasting platforms or go to limitlessbroadcasting.com for more info, merchandise, etc.
We hope to see you on the podcast, but make sure to bring some pixie dust and happy thoughts.
And aim for the second star on the right and straight on till you land on the Pixie Dust Twins podcast.
We'll see y'all real soon.
Calling all you horror enthusiasts. If you are brave enough, we dare you to listen to our horror podcast, You Can't Kill the Boogeyman Podcast, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by Limitless Broadcasting Network. This show is available wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, everyone is entitled to one good scare. Don't forget to subscribe to limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com.
Are you intrigued by true paranormal stories? Do you crave tales of the strange, the dark, and the mysterious? Tune into our new podcast, Bump in the Night Chronicles, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Each episode dives into chilling paranormal phenomena and spine-tingling urban legends. From ghostly encounters to hair-raising myths, we explore the unknown. So if you're brave enough and not easily scared, subscribe now to limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com for ad-free episodes.
A dark cloud hanging over Hollywood as writers and actors are simultaneously on strike for the first time since 1960.
Is Hollywood still the place where movie magic happens?
The magic of Hollywood, I think, is one movie, one weekend can change the entire outlook of the entire industry.
Los Angeles is waking up to the fact that it is no longer always the destination of choice for TV and film production. 2024 was the worst year for on-location filming in the city since they started tracking data 30 years ago.
Are you fascinated by Hollywood? Curious about the money and business deals that power the media industry? Welcome to Hollywood Hustle, the podcast that dissects trends and deals, tracing the financial flows that keep the entertainment world thriving today. This is an information and news and business podcast, so if you're intrigued by Hollywood and want to uncover who truly runs the town, make sure to tune in to Hollywood Hustle. Welcome to Hollywood Hustle, the podcast that delves into the financial aspects of Hollywood. I'm Oliver Parker, filling in for Albert Parker today. In this episode, we're diving into the fascinating circumstances surrounding Jimmy Kimmel, Nexstar, and Sinclair. We'll examine how these media powerhouses shape America's airwaves and their considerable impact on network television. If the cancellation of Jimmy Kimmel Live left you puzzled, we'll break down the business and studio dynamics that led to this decision.
Hey, it's Robert from Limitless Broadcasting, reminding you to tune in to Limitless Broadcasting Network anywhere you get your podcasts, from Apple Podcasts to Spotify. Check us out today.
In America's vast media landscape, most viewers rarely think about who actually owns the local TV stations that bring network programming into their homes. When you tune in to watch ABC's Jimmy Kimmel or your local news, you're likely watching a station owned not by the network itself, but by one of two dominant media conglomerates, Nexstar Media Group or Sinclair Broadcast Group. These two broadcasting giants have quietly amassed extraordinary influence over America's television ecosystem. Together, they control hundreds of local TV stations, reaching the majority of U.S. households, giving them unprecedented power to determine what content reaches American viewers. The extent of this power became dramatically clear in September 2025 when Nexstar made the unilateral decision to pull ABC's long-running Jimmy Kimmel Live from its stations following controversial comments by the host about the assassination of conservative figure Charlie Kirk. Sinclair quickly followed suit, and within hours, Disney and ABC announced they would suspend the show indefinitely. Nexstar's story begins in 1996 with a single television station purchase in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Founded by industry pioneer Perry Asook, who remains chairman and CEO to this day, Nexstar has transformed from a modest regional broadcaster into the undisputed colossus of local television. With the purchase of Scranton PA station in 1996, broadcast industry pioneer and Nexstar chairman and CEO, Perry Asook, founded Nexstar and began building the foundation of what more than two decades later has become the largest local broadcast television and media company in the United States. The company's growth strategy has been methodical and aggressive. After going public in 2003, Nexstar doubled down on acquisitions, gradually expanding its footprint across America. But the true watershed moments came with two massive acquisitions, Media General in 2016 and Tribune Media in 2019. The Tribune acquisition, valued at $6.4 billion, catapulted Nexstar to unprecedented dominance. Today, Nexstar operates more than 200 television stations across 116 markets, reaching an estimated 212 million Americans, approximately 68% of all U.S. television households. This makes Nexstar not just the largest owner of local TV stations in America, but one of the most influential media companies in the country. While local television remains Nexstar's foundation, the company has strategically diversified its portfolio. It owns cable network News Nation, formerly WGN America, digital news operations, and has invested heavily in next-generation broadcast technologies. Nexstar has also been at the forefront of reshaping the economics of broadcasting. In 2005, under Sook's leadership, Nexstar took the then controversial stance of demanding payment from cable and satellite providers for retransmitting its local stations, a practice now standard across the industry that generates billions in revenue. The company's trajectory reveals a consistent pattern: strategic acquisitions, operational efficiency, and leveraging scale to maximize influence and profitability. This approach has made Nexstar a Wall Street darling, with its stock value increasing dramatically over the past decade. But this growth has come with heightened scrutiny. Media watchdogs and regulatory bodies have raised concerns about the implications of such concentrated ownership. When a single company controls the local news and programming in dozens of American cities, questions inevitably arise about diversity of viewpoints, localism, and the public interest. To truly understand Nexstar's influence, consider these statistics. 200-plus television stations owned or operated, presence in 116 markets across America, reaches 68% of U.S. television households, owned stations affiliated with all major networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, controls the largest collection of local websites in the U.S., annual revenue exceeding $4.5 billion. This reach gives Nexstar extraordinary leverage when negotiating with networks like Disney, ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox. While these networks create the content, they rely on local affiliates to distribute it to viewers across America. Nexstar, as the largest owner of these affiliates, has significant influence over what programming reaches American homes. In early 2025, Nexstar announced its intent to acquire another major broadcaster, Tegna, in a deal valued at $6.2 billion. This pending acquisition, if approved by regulators, would further cement Nexstar's position as America's dominant local television company and potentially increase its negotiating power with major networks. Sinclair, the conservative broadcasting powerhouse, from family business to broadcasting force. While Nexstar may claim the title of America's largest broadcaster by station count, Sinclair Broadcast Group represents another form of media power, one that combines extensive reach with a distinctive editorial perspective. Founded by Julian Sinclair Smith with a single Baltimore television station in 1971, Sinclair has grown into the second largest television station operator in the United States. Now controlled by the descendants of its founder, particularly David Smith, Sinclair owns or operates 193 stations across more than 100 markets, covering approximately 40% of American households. What distinguishes Sinclair from competitors like Nexstar is not just its size, but its well-documented conservative editorial leanings. The company has frequently made headlines for requiring its local stations to air must-run segments featuring conservative commentary, prompting both praise from conservatives who see it as a counterbalance to perceived liberal media bias, and criticism from those who question whether such centralized editorial control serves local communities. Strategic growth and diversification. Like Nexstar, Sinclair has grown primarily through acquisitions, steadily expanding its portfolio of stations while developing new revenue streams. Beyond its broadcast properties, Sinclair owns several digital networks, including Comet, Charge, The Nest, and Roar, as well as the sports-oriented cable network Tennis Channel. Sinclair's growth strategy came to national attention in 2017 when it announced plans to acquire Tribune Media for $3.9 billion, a deal that would have created an unprecedented television giant with over 230 stations, reaching 72% of American households. However, the deal collapsed in 2018 amid regulatory concerns and questions about Sinclair's candor during the approval process. Despite this setback, Sinclair has remained a formidable force in broadcasting, maintaining its position as the largest owner of stations affiliated with Fox, ABC, CBS, and NBC, outside of the networks themselves. This gives Sinclair, like Nexstar, significant leverage in negotiations with these networks. The relationship between station groups like Sinclair and the major networks exemplifies the complex power dynamics of modern broadcasting. Networks provide the national programming and brand recognition, while station groups provide the local distribution infrastructure and community connections. This symbiotic relationship works smoothly most of the time, but it can become contentious when station groups exercise their power to preempt or drop network programming. As happened with Jimmy Kimmel Live in September 2025, Sinclair's conservative orientation adds another dimension to these dynamics. The company has occasionally found itself more aligned with Fox than with more centrist or progressive-leaning networks like ABC. These ideological considerations can influence programming decisions, including when and whether to preempt controversial content. To understand how companies like Nexstar and Sinclair can make decisions like dropping Jimmy Kimmel Live, one must understand the fundamental structure of the television industry. The relationship between networks and their affiliated stations is governed by affiliation agreements, contracts that specify the terms under which local stations will carry network programming. These agreements typically run for several years and include provisions regarding programming obligations, which network shows the station must carry, preemption rights, when stations can replace network programming with local content, advertising inventory, how commercial time is divided between network and local stations, compensation, financial arrangements between networks and stations. Historically, networks paid affiliated stations to carry their programming. However, as the economics of television changed, this relationship flipped. Stations now typically pay networks for popular content. This reversal, known as reverse compensation, has significantly altered the power dynamics in broadcasting. Despite this shift, station groups like Nexstar and Sinclair retain considerable leverage, particularly when they control numerous affiliates of a single network. If a station group threatens to drop a network's programming across dozens of markets simultaneously, the network faces potentially catastrophic audience and revenue losses. Beyond their relationships with networks, station groups derive significant revenue and power from another source: retransmission consent fees paid by cable and satellite providers. Under federal law, cable and satellite companies must obtain permission from broadcasters to retransmit their signals. This permission typically comes at a price. Fees that have grown substantially over the past decade and now represent a critical revenue stream for companies like Nexstar and Sinclair. These fees give station groups additional leverage, as they can threaten to withhold their signals from cable and satellite providers during negotiations, potentially causing these providers to lose subscribers. The threat of such blackouts has led to increasingly contentious negotiations and escalating fees. The combination of network affiliation agreements and retransmission consent creates a complex web of relationships in which station groups like Nexstar and Sinclair occupy a crucial position. They are the gatekeepers controlling access to viewers for both content creators, networks, and content distributors, cable and satellite companies. Another source of station groups' influence is their control over local news programming. Local news remains one of the most watched and most trusted forms of media in America, and companies like Nexstar and Sinclair own hundreds of local newsrooms nationwide. This control of local news gives station groups significant influence over public perception and community trust. It also provides them with a platform to shape narratives around controversies, including disputes with networks over programming decisions. When Nexstar decided to drop Jimmy Kimmel Live in September 2025, its local stations could frame this decision through their news coverage, potentially influencing how viewers understood the controversy and perceived both Kimmel and Nexstar's actions. The events leading to the suspension of Jimmy Kimmel Live began on Monday, September 15th, 2025.
Are you tired of keeping your frustrations bottled up? It's time to let it out on Rant Radio. Whether it's the unpredictable weather, annoying coworkers, or that friend who never listens, we want to hear your best rants. Call us now at 844-857-7268. Join the conversation and share your thoughts with fellow rant enthusiasts. And guess what? The best rant wins a whopping $2,000 from Limitless Broadcasting Network. So what are you waiting for? Grab your phone, dial 844-857-7268 and start ranting. Rant Radio, where your voice matters. Happy ranting.
Listen, you're in a privileged position to learn a thing or two. Keep your mouth shut and your eyes open.
Hey, I'm Robert with Limitless Broadcasting Network, and you might know me from shows like You Can't Kill the Boogeyman podcast, The Painful Truth of Living with Chronic Pain, and more. I'm here to talk to you about my new show, premiering exclusively on the Limitless Broadcasting Network. It's called
Robbie Reviews.
It's a new movie review podcast show that lets you know exactly what movies you should see this summer and which movies you should stay away from this summer. So if you are into movies just like I am, you're going to love this podcast.
This ship cannot be crewed by two men. You'll never make it out of the bay.
Son, I'm Captain Jack Sparrow. Savvy?
I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle.
Smile on that face.
Why so not gonna serious? Kill me. You know why I can't kill this son? You know why I can't even put a bullet in Sean's head? Because Sean was disloyal. If you were anybody else, Tariq, you'd already be dead. The moment you let Tommy in the penthouse to kill me was the moment you were no longer my son, and now you're my enemy.
It's going to exclusively premiere on the Limitless Broadcasting Network. So subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
When Kimmel addressed the recent assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk during his opening monologue, we had some new lows over the weekend with a MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them, and with everything they can to score political points from it, Kimmel said on his show, the comments immediately sparked outrage among conservatives, who viewed them as insensitive and factually misleading at a time of national mourning. Critics argued that Kimmel was politicizing a tragedy and mischaracterizing the motives of the assassin. The controversy escalated significantly when FCC Chairman Brendan Carr, a Trump appointee, publicly criticized Kimmel's remarks during a podcast appearance with conservative commentator Benny Johnson. Carr called Kimmel's comments some of the sickest conduct possible and added, "Frankly, when you see stuff like this, I mean, we can do this the easy way, or these companies can find ways to change conduct, to take action, frankly, on Kimmel, or there's going to be additional work for the FCC ahead." This statement from a federal regulator raised immediate concerns about government pressure on broadcasters. The FCC has significant regulatory authority over broadcast television, including the power to grant or deny license renewals for local stations. Later that same day, Nexstar announced that it would preempt Jimmy Kimmel Live on all of its ABC-affiliated stations for the foreseeable future. In a statement, Andrew Alford, president of Nexstar's broadcasting division, said, "Mr. Kimmel's comments about the death of Mr. Kirk are offensive and insensitive at a critical time in our national political discourse, and we do not believe they reflect the spectrum of opinions, views, or values of the local communities in which we are located. Continuing to give Mr. Kimmel a broadcast platform in the communities we serve is simply not in the public interest at the current time, and we have made the difficult decision to preempt his show in an effort to let cooler heads prevail as we move toward the resumption of respectful, constructive dialogue." Nexstar emphasized that this decision was made unilaterally by its senior executive team without communication with the FCC or any government agency. Shortly after Nexstar's announcement, Sinclair Broadcast Group informed Disney that it too would drop Kimmel's show from its ABC affiliates. The company even went further, stating it would not lift the suspension until formal discussions were held with ABC regarding the network's commitment to professionalism and accountability, faced with the prospect of its late-night flagship being unavailable in markets covering a significant portion of the U.S. population. Disney announced it was suspending Jimmy Kimmel Live indefinitely. This rapid sequence of events,
from controversial comment to network suspension in less than 48 hours, demonstrated the extraordinary power that station groups like Nexstar and Sinclair wield over network programming decisions. Industry analysts have noted that Nexstar's decision may have been influenced by more than just content concerns. The company is currently seeking FCC approval for its $6.2 billion acquisition of Tegna, another major station group. Additionally, Nexstar has been advocating for the repeal of the FCC's broadcast ownership rule, which limits any single company from owning stations that collectively reach more than 39% of U.S. households. Similarly, Disney has significant regulatory matters before the FCC, including approval for a major NFL deal for ESPN. These pending business considerations may have influenced both companies' decisions regarding Kimmel's show. The power wielded by Nexstar and Sinclair in the Kimmel controversy is emblematic of a broader trend in American media. The increasing concentration of ownership in fewer hands. Over the past three decades, regulatory changes and market forces have driven a dramatic consolidation of local television ownership. The Telecommunications Act of 1996 relaxed ownership limits, setting off a wave of mergers and acquisitions that continues to this day. In 1983, 50 companies controlled 90% of American media. Today, that number has shrunk to just six major conglomerates, with Nexstar and Sinclair dominating local television specifically. This consolidation has occurred across political administrations of both parties, reflecting a bipartisan willingness to allow media markets to concentrate despite the potential implications for diversity of viewpoints and local control. The business case for media consolidation is compelling. Larger station groups benefit from economies of scale in technology, programming, and operations. They can centralize back-office functions, share content across stations, and negotiate more favorable terms with networks, advertisers, and cable satellite providers. These economic advantages have made further consolidation almost inevitable in the absence of stricter regulatory limits. As smaller station groups struggle to compete, they often become acquisition targets for larger players like Nexstar and Sinclair. The pending Nexstar-Tegna merger represents the continuation of this trend. If approved, it would further concentrate ownership and potentially increase Nexstar's leverage over networks and distributors. One of the most significant consequences of this consolidation has been its effect on local news. As station groups grow larger, they often implement cost-cutting measures that include centralized content production, creating segments at corporate headquarters for distribution across multiple markets, shared services agreements, having one newsroom produce content for multiple stations in the same market, staff reductions, eliminating duplicate positions across newly merged station groups. These practices can reduce the truly local character of news coverage and limit the diversity of perspectives presented to viewers. Critics argue that when dozens or hundreds of stations are controlled by a single corporate entity, the local and local news becomes increasingly nominal. The Federal Communications Commission plays a crucial role in this landscape as the primary regulator of broadcast television. The FCC has the authority to grant and renew broadcast licenses. Stations must demonstrate they serve the public interest, convenience, and necessity, enforce ownership limits, rules restricting how many stations a single entity can control, review mergers and acquisitions, evaluating whether combinations serve the public interest, monitor content, enforcing restrictions on obscenity and indecency. Under Chairman Brendan Carr, the FCC has taken an expansive view of its authority to ensure programming serves the public interest. Critics argue this approach risks government interference in content decisions, while supporters contend it properly enforces long-standing standards for broadcast use of public airwaves. To fully understand the dynamics between networks and station groups, one must follow the money that flows through the television ecosystem. The traditional broadcast model relied heavily on advertising revenue, with networks and stations sharing commercial inventory. However, several developments have transformed this model. Retransmission consent fees, now a major revenue source for broadcasters. Digital advertising, creating new competition for traditional TV ad dollars. Streaming competition, eroding viewership for linear television. Reverse compensation, stations now paying networks for content. These changes have altered power relationships throughout the industry. Networks like ABC Disney now operate in a more challenging environment where they must balance traditional broadcast distribution with direct-to-consumer streaming services. Station groups like Nexstar and Sinclair, meanwhile, have leveraged their control of distribution to extract value from both directions, collecting retransmission fees from cable, satellite providers, and using their scale to negotiate favorable terms with networks. The relationship between networks and their affiliated stations represents a delicate balance of mutual dependence. Networks need widespread distribution to attract national advertisers, while stations need compelling programming to attract viewers. This interdependence typically ensures cooperation, but it can break down during disputes over content, compensation, or strategic direction. The Kimmel controversy revealed how quickly this balance can shift when station groups exercise their preemption rights collectively. When Nexstar and Sinclair both decided to drop Jimmy Kimmel Live, they demonstrated the leverage that comes from controlling hundreds of local stations. Disney, despite being one of the world's largest media companies, found itself with little choice but to suspend the show rather than risk a prolonged and potentially damaging standoff with its distribution partners. A critical factor in the Kimmel controversy was the pending regulatory approval of Nexstar's acquisition of Tegna. This $6.2 billion deal requires FCC approval, giving the commission significant leverage over Nexstar's business decisions. Media mergers typically face scrutiny from multiple regulatory bodies, including Federal Communications Commission, evaluating public interest considerations, Department of Justice, reviewing antitrust implications, Federal Trade Commission, examining consumer protection concerns. When media companies have significant regulatory matters pending, they may be particularly sensitive to controversy or criticism from government officials. This dynamic can create implicit pressure on content decisions, even without explicit demands. The timing of Nexstar's action against Kimmel, coming immediately after SEC Chairman Carr's critical comments, raised questions about whether regulatory considerations influenced the company's decision-making process. As the media landscape continues to evolve, the power dynamics between networks, station groups, regulators, and viewers are likely to shift in sometimes unpredictable ways. Several trends will shape these dynamics in the coming years. Continued consolidation, further mergers and acquisitions among traditional media companies, streaming integration, networks increasingly prioritizing direct-to-consumer offerings, regulatory approaches, changes in FCC policy based on political leadership, technological disruption, next-generation broadcast standards creating new opportunities and challenges. The tension between centralized control and local autonomy will remain a defining feature of the broadcast landscape. As companies like Nexstar and Sinclair grow larger, questions about their influence over public discourse will likely intensify. The regulatory framework governing broadcasting faces increasing pressure from technological and market changes. Key policy questions include: ownership limits. Should the 39% national audience cap be maintained, raised, or eliminated? Public interest obligations. How should these be defined and enforced in the digital age? Content regulation. What are the appropriate boundaries for FCC oversight of programming? Local control. How can policy ensure meaningful local input in an era of national ownership? These questions transcend partisan politics, though they are often approached differently by Democratic and Republican administrations. The fundamental tension between market efficiency and viewpoint diversity remains regardless of which party controls the regulatory apparatus. The First Amendment has always had a complex relationship with broadcast regulation. Unlike print or internet publishing, broadcasting has historically been subject to greater content restrictions due to its use of public airwaves and its perceived pervasiveness in American homes. The Kimmel controversy highlighted continuing questions about the proper boundaries between government regulation and broadcast speech. Critics argued that Carr's comments represented inappropriate government pressure on content decisions, while others contended that broadcasters' public interest obligations legitimately include consideration of community standards and values, as media consumption fragments across platforms with different regulatory frameworks. These tensions are likely to become more pronounced. Content that might be restricted on broadcast television flows freely on streaming services and social media, creating regulatory disparities that may become increasingly difficult to justify. The suspension of Jimmy Kimmel Live in September 2025 revealed much more than a controversy over a late-night host's comments. It illuminated the complex power structures that govern what Americans see on television and the sometimes hidden influence of companies like Nexstar Media Group and Sinclair Broadcast Group. These media conglomerates, through their ownership of hundreds of local television stations, have acquired extraordinary leverage over both the networks that create content and the regulatory bodies that oversee broadcasting. Their decisions can determine whether millions of Americans have access to particular programs, viewpoints, or information. As media consolidation continues and the regulatory landscape evolves, the tension between corporate influence, government oversight, and free expression will remain a defining feature of American broadcasting. The Kimmel controversy may be just one episode in this ongoing story, but it provides a revealing window into who truly holds power in America's media ecosystem. When you turn on your television tonight, remember that what you see and what you don't see may be determined not just by the networks whose logos appear on your screen, but by the less visible companies that own the stations bringing those networks into your home. In the complex ecosystem of American media, Nexstar and Sinclair have emerged as apex predators, wielding influence that extends far beyond their corporate headquarters to shape the information landscape for millions of Americans. Thank you for listening to Hollywood Hustle. The story research was carried out by the Limitless Newsletter, and they also wrote the story. Episodes are edited by Robert Brooksby, with Albert Parker serving as the host. This podcast is produced by 1950 Studios and distributed through the Limitless Broadcasting Network. To get early access to this episode and enjoy it without ads, please subscribe to limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com.
Are you intrigued by conspiracy theories and the strange, dark, and mysterious? If so, we invite you to subscribe to our new podcast, The Truth Behind the Lies, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by the Limitless Broadcasting Network.